evening, everyone, and welcome to Fritz and Friends 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com. Cheryl Fritz here with you this evening, along with Mark Price, on this Thursday evening, the eve of New Year's Eve. We're going to kick it right off. Last night we had on as a guest Steve Dugan, who is a Republican Ingham County Commissioner and Vice Chair Pro Tem, and we had a lot to talk about and we didn't quite get to it, so I wanted to have him back to go over a few more things. Good evening, Steve.
Hey, Cheryl. How are you tonight?
I'm very, very well. We kind of left off yesterday. I just wanted to back up a touch. We had talked about that you thought that some of the worst times were over, but that's only because we're maybe at a leveling off period. If you want to just clarify that, and then we'll move on to a couple of other points.
Well, I don't think we're going to have the budget animosity or headlines for the 2012 budget when we start working on that, late spring, early summer, that we've seen the past couple of years. Hopefully that's a good thing. It's certainly still, I don't think we're out of the woods entirely in terms of, positions that become vacant through retirement or voluntary quits or whatnot. I think that those are still going to be vulnerable. And I think departments are still going to have pressure on to look for cost-saving measures. But again, not with the confrontational, political battles that we've just gone through.
Well, that's good news for you as a commissioner, isn't it?
Well, it makes life easier.
As a matter of fact, one of the things we wanted to talk about yesterday that happens to be particularly timely with a couple of fires this week is the P2 ordinance. Could you first tell us what that ordinance is?
Well, P2 is an acronym for pollution prevention. And it is a proposal coming out of the health department to look for some increased recognition of what businesses similar to Adams Plating in particular, would have on inventory. It's not clear in my mind, do we need the health department to have to be a lead player in this arena, in as much as the various fire departments throughout the area already operate under what's called the Firefighters' Right to Know Act. So businesses, and the reason I bring up Adams is because Adams is a type of business that had a lot of chemicals, solvents, they do chroming. I've got a friend who actually had re-chroming for his antique Plymouth being done at Adams Plating some time ago, so his parts were not involved in the fire. But all of that's very hazardous material. Under Firefighters' Right to Know, any fire department, has the right to go in and inventory what a business has got to know what's on hand, where is it stored in the property, to make that, a safer environment for first responders. And we all want that.
And that's currently on the books now. Currently that goes on, but this P2 would be something in addition to that.
Correct. And it's a concern, and it comes back a little bit to that budget situation in that this was an opportunity where the health department could do something it was already doing but at a higher level, but shift some of the burden from the general fund of the general fund tax bill to additional fees that would go to these businesses, be they big businesses or small businesses. And we're now to a point where we've heard from a number of them. I see this as one of the controversial issues that is probably going to start the year. And truly the question is, to what extent do we want the health department to do this? To what extent do we want to put fees on businesses? And believe me, I'm strongly adverse to adding fee burdens to businesses and an additional layer of paperwork that these guys would have to do. And I look at it, from some of the small businesses, especially that gave testimony during our committee discussions. These guys have got a tough enough job keeping their payroll going, keeping the health insurance paid for their employees, when they've got health insurance involved, filling out paperwork, and to give them one more form and one more fee on the table, it's a strong concern. And much of the homework to get this in place was done without businesses even being very aware of it. So until about late November, this was all hunky-dory with the county health department, and it was going to be an opportunity to generate about $250,000 in revenue that otherwise the health department would have had to make up with $250,000 worth of budget cuts. And, you know, and some of us started notifying businesses involved. We got some folks to come to committees and, you know, and come to the board meetings and say, this is the burden it would put on me. But again, now we've adopted a budget where the health department is dependent upon that $250,000. Mm-hmm. And if P2 doesn't go through, then the health department has to wind up going back to the drawing board to figure out what they do to either make up the revenue or make up the budget cut.
So, yeah, they've gone ahead without it getting approval, but assuming in their budget that it's going to work.
That is correct. So, you know, so that we're going to see some controversy over how that goes or how that plays out, probably starting by the end of January.
If the fire department and first responders already have the ability to know what materials are, do you think this other layer is actually needed from the health department?
I voted no a couple of times on this already, Cheryl.
Okay.
That's pretty much my statement about that.
I'd say that sums it up, because it sounds like revenue generating, and I get that, but as a business, I would be feeling this was, you know, one more, like you said, one more layer, one more burden on me, and they want more money.
Well, and the challenge that it gets overlooked here is that small businesses pay property taxes into the general fund as well. You know, and in many cases, they're paying more into the general fund than what I pay on my house or what, you know, the average homeowner is paying. So, you know, they have to be in a situation to say, all of a sudden, if I get a new set of paperwork and a new fee, you know, then what's the benefit that I get out of the general fund tax dollars I'm putting in already?
Sure.
And any business that owns real estate is putting in a property tax payment, which is still 60% of the county's general fund budget.
Sure. Yeah, I would say you're right. This is going to be one of the controversial ones that on the table for you at the beginning of the year.
Well, stay tuned, but I certainly hope that this catches the ear of any small business owner who's listening to us right now.
I'm sure that it probably will. Another issue that came up with the recent census numbers and losing a representative in Michigan is redistricting. And it's a convoluted issue, but how do you see some of that playing out locally here?
Well, the thing that is significant from the county commissioner redistricting, of course, a lot of the pizzazz is on the congressional seats, and we've now seen what the numbers are. You know, the county commissioners have an obligation to be redistricted as well to balance out population. There's been some loss in population in Lansing. There's probably been, I would think, a nudge of loss in population in East Lansing. In the rural parts of the county, there's probably been enough growth that the county itself is going to be flat. But the thing that is significantly different about redistricting for county commissioners compared to, for instance, the legislature, is that we don't have to stay with the same number of seats. We could go up, we could go down. State law defines how many seats the Board of Commissioners can have, always defined as a range from this to that. And so, as a result, we may not necessarily stay at 16 seats. In the 1980s, there were 20 county commissioners. In the 1990s, there were 13 commissioners. Currently, there are 16 commissioners, but none of those is a magic number. So looking at the shift of influence, and certainly the Lansing, East Lansing commissioners have had the dominant influence, and that will still be the majority of the population. But at the same time, the way that those maps may, you know, play out will certainly be interesting to watch over the course of the summer. The other element, of course, that goes with that is that some of the current county commissioners are likely to run for the legislature.
Mm-hmm.
And that being the case, probably that map making gets done once it becomes obvious which commissioners might run for which seats. You know, from the state house standpoint, the Joan Bauer seat, which is most of Lansing and Lansing Township, is term limited. Mark Meadows is term limited with the East Lansing Meridian Township seat, and Barbara Byram is term limited for the district that covers much of the rest of the county. So as a result, in 2012, all three of those are going to be fair game. Some of the county commissioners are certainly going to be candidates, you know, looking at any of those seats, depending upon, of course, where they live and what those maps look like.
Well,
there will be other players, of course, involved, and possibly city council members from Lansing or maybe East Lansing. There may be, other personalities that would come forward, but that will change the dynamic.
Definitely. Well, Steve, as always, I really appreciate your time, as I said yesterday, trying to, clear up what can be some pretty confusing issues for us in Ingham County. I appreciate your time, and once again, Happy New Year to you.
Yeah, to you as well. Always good to talk with you, Cheryl.
Thank you so much. We've been talking with Steve Dugan, Republican, Ingham County Commissioner. Always a pleasure to have him on. We'll be right back with more Fritz and Friends right after these messages.